The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is thus fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see.' Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals it away, what was sown in the heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good evening. Get my pages in order here so you understand what's going on tonight. Make sure we're good. Okay. Like many folks, we have a bird feeder on our back deck. A number of months ago, I bought this 50-pound bag of sunflower seeds. Karen just rolled her eyes and shook her head as I brought it home, but that's okay. We're not going to run out of bird seed for a long time. At any rate, every few weeks as I top off the feeder with more bird seed, if I'm not careful enough, some of that bird seed spills outside the feeder and onto the deck, sometimes falling through the cracks of the deck and onto the patio below. And from there, some of the seeds then bounce off the patio to the nearby ground. I generally pick up most of the seeds on the deck, but I'm actually not too concerned about them or the ones who fell down to the patio below, because I know the birds and the squirrels will quickly spot them as easy pickings and come and eat them. Some of the seeds that fall to the patio below end up nestled between the cracks, between the stone pavers. And I'm always amazed at how, with just that little bit of soil in those cracks, they soon sprout and grow to about 6 to 8 inches tall, seemingly overnight. But then they usually start to fade away. Their shallow root system is just too limited, wedged between the pavers, to support a healthy plant. Or just a couple of feet away, the seed that happened to have bounced off the patio and onto the ground, they also sprout quickly, but they don't fizzle out. Their roots have room to grow in the soft ground, and those sunflower seeds are soon sunflowers, standing 3 feet tall and growing. Jesus tells us a similar story in today's gospel in the parable of the sower. It is the first of 7 parables of the kingdom, as they're known, given by Jesus in this 13th chapter of Matthew. And in this parable, Jesus is helping us to understand that it is the qualities of the ground that the seed falls upon, the disposition of our hearts to his word, that has everything to do with his success. It is of vital importance. For we see that Jesus sows his seeds universally on all types of ground. It reminds us of Matthew chapter 5, where we read that God causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on both the just and the unjust. Likewise, the word of God is sprinkled on every man's heart without exception, and the seed is all good seed. So the critical variable is as to if and how much the seed will grow is the soil itself. It is the disposition of our hearts that determine whether the seeds of God's word will ever take root or grow just a bit and then fade, or grow into a healthy plant that even fosters new plant life around it. As we contemplate today Christ's parable, we may be tempted to draw some quick conclusions that the path, the hard soil, must obviously represent the heathens of the world. And the thorny and stony soil must represent many of our weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. For the good soil is, well, us, of course. We're the ones sitting in mass, right? But if we brush off that temptation to rash judgment and take an honest look inside, we will surely find that we as individuals, yes, even faithful Catholics, yes, even ministry leaders, yes, even deacons and priests and bishops, we are all susceptible to the stones and thorns and hardness of the heart. If you're at all like me, a bit of honest introspection reveals that your heart isn't always the good soil that you'd like it to be. It may vary from day to day or even throughout the day and requires constant vigilance. Today I might be totally receptive to the word of God, singing hallelujah, come Lord Jesus, amen. But when I walk through the doors of work on Monday, especially after dealing with the traffic en route to work on Monday, I might be anything but receptive to God. Or perhaps I might begin the week receptive to his word, but by midweek, there's definitely some stones surfacing or some thorns sprouting that begin to crowd Jesus out. And if I don't get to a midweek mass to recalibrate, or at a bare minimum to adoration for some quiet time, by Friday, I might very well be that hard ground. Sometimes we kid ourselves, or perhaps honestly aren't really sure what kind of ground we have. And a great way to help us discern that comes from Jesus himself. Just a few chapters ago, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus taught that by their fruits shall ye know them. If you want a measure of the quality of your heart, take a look at your crop. So I challenge you today to take an honest look at the fruits of your life, the fruits of your personal life, the fruits of your family, the fruits of your work day, the fruits of your school day, the fruits of your ministry, the fruits of your vocation, whether it be single, married, parenting, holy orders, etc. But take an honest look at yourself, as well as those which God has placed in your charge. And what do you see? Do you see an honest effort towards the health of mind, body, and spirit? Do you see increasing spiritual maturity, growth in the love of God and the sacraments, chastity appropriate to marital status and vocation? Do you see evidence of true love? How about forgiveness and reconciliation with each other? Or do you see stagnation, weariness, or apathy in the spiritual life? A loss of enthusiasm for the sacraments, especially Mass and reconciliation. Do you see unresolved disputes, especially ones with no ongoing and honest attempts to reconcile? Do you see or feel isolation, fear, anxiety, putting self before others. And if you do see any of these problems in your home or your church family, do you believe that it's only a reflection of everyone else and not so much you? Of course, none of these negative things are fruits of the Holy Spirit, and they are all telltale signs of thorns and stones crowding out God, if not outright hardness of heart. So let us take a few minutes to examine three dispositions of our hearts as indicated by Jesus in today's gospel: the indifferent heart, the distracted heart, and the responsive heart. First, the heart that is indifferent to the word of God. The metaphor Jesus used for the indifferent heart is the hardened path. The seed sits on it, hits it, and just sits on top, and the word doesn't sink in at all. So it is completely unfazed by the seeds of truth, peace, hope, love, mercy, faith, wisdom. The hardened heart thus resists the word of God, so those seeds are easy pickings for the birds, Satan, to carry away. And no good seeds, not surprisingly, equals no good fruits. The hardened path represents hearts that are dull, eyes that are closed. There is a fundamental lack of understanding, not because they're not smart enough to grasp it, but that the lack of God's love permeating their hearts. It could certainly apply that, we could apply that ground to ground that has never been cultivated. No evangelization, no catechesis, no well-formed conscience, or perhaps it was just a flat-out rejection of all things God. But it is also entirely possible that the hard ground was once responsive to the seeds of God. But after years of being walked on and neglected, their woundedness led to a hardening of heart. When we have been wounded in life, we often take up defensive posturing. It's only natural. We do this to protect ourselves from further injury, or to protect a bruised rib or scars that are still sensitive. But in doing this, we have just begun to rationalize a little hardness. And once justified in our minds, it's an all too easy step to indifference in the heart, where we no longer have a contrite heart. We've totally rationalized it, we've totally internalized it, and we've accepted it. Thus, we no longer feel the need to repent, especially for venial sins. We have slowly become negligent of our spiritual life. We have become lukewarm Catholics and even scornful. Perhaps there was a time when we would have tried to change, at least try to heal, try to reconcile, but no more. The situation is what it is, and that's it. It's easier for me to suppress or ignore the issue, so I reject God's gentle call to reconciliation with Him and with others. I have become the hardened path, and it is truly quite sad. Secondly, distracted hearts. They're not the hardened ground where the seed just sits on top and is stolen away. They're actually initially quite receptive to the Word of God, but they soon become distracted by the world and fade away. Two categories of distracted hearts that Jesus gives us today: the rocky soil and the thorny soil. The rocky soil has an initial joyful response to God's word, but its roots can't spread out due to rocks that are in the way. They endure for a while, but they fade. When? In times of trial. When the dog days of summer hit, with the hot sun and sporadic rain, with shallow roots, survival is indeed in jeopardy. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who are newly confirmed are prime candidates for this condition, and we must be, and they must be, extra vigilant. Cultivated enough, receptive enough to allow the Word of God to germinate at least initially, but before long they learn, too often the hard way, that their ground will require years of tilling and truly a lifetime of being on the lookout for new obstacles to a stronger root system. But even those of us who are not so recently confirmed and otherwise generally receptive to the Word of God can find rocks that we must deal with. Last week I was out digging in our front yard and preparing it for a retaining wall we're putting in for a flower garden. I was digging along fairly smoothly for a while, but then my shovel hit a rock, and then another, and another. And it took me about 10 minutes to dig through the next 1 foot or so of soil due to all the rocks. None of those rocks were visible from the surface, and really they had posed no issues at all until I needed to dig there. Sometimes we are good at cleaning up the surface stones in our lives, the visible stuff. But when we dig a little deeper, we may find obstacles to our growth and maturity that we never realized were there at all. And sometimes, tragically, we have our pet rocks. Old habits, old grudges, old injuries. Rocks in our stony old hearts that we may even recognize limit our spiritual maturity. But we've learned to live with that old rock. And we don't really want to take the time or effort required to dig it out. So they are rocks that we choose to hold on to out of pure selfishness or laziness or out of some fear or anxiety. But if we don't learn to deal with them, no matter how difficult, our lives will be plagued with spiritual weakness and perennially mediocre harvest. The thorny soil Jesus speaks about is a caution against worldly allurement. These hearts hear and accept the word, but become distracted by the world, caught up in the cares of the world, particularly materialism and sensuality. Where do these thorns come from? Well, we ought to know very well that while Jesus sows the seeds of the word of God, Satan is also out there spreading his own seeds around. The seeds of the love of riches, ambition to gain influence and power, excessive concern for well-being, excessive concern for a comfortable way of life, and is so seductive because who doesn't want more money and more comfort? St. Jose Maria Escriva said, "Such eyes are firmly fixed on earthly things and consequently are blind to supernatural realities. They have become blind to what really matters." St. John of the Cross, our Lord called them thorns in the gospel, so that we should understand that anyone who fondly caresses such things with his will be wounded by some sin. St. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, sternly warns that the heart set on earthly things as absolute good commits a type of idolatry. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, says very plainly, "You simply cannot serve both God and money." Thirdly, the responsive hearts. They are the ones who receive the word, accept the word, and so importantly, they apply the word, trying to conform their life to God's word, vice the other way around, trying to twist scripture to fit our lifestyles. And it's quite possible that the responsive soil used to be the hardened path. And it may have taken a long time, perhaps painstakingly, to open up, to weed out those thorns, to pick out those rocks. But all of us, whatever our lives may have been in the past, are capable of becoming that good soil. As our responsorial psalm indicates, no soil is so impervious or so uncultivated that the gentle rains of the Holy Spirit cannot soften the furrows and the dirt clods of our hearts. We must simply be willing to change and respond to Him. Today, understand that Christ the sower seeks a bountiful harvest in your heart, and therefore He challenges you to do some serious soul searching. Where are you hardened, resisting His word? Where are your rocks, your internal barriers to deeper spiritual roots? How are the thorns, the world, and all its allure distracting you from more closely following Him? Allow the Holy Spirit to soften your heart with this gentle rain. Don't be afraid of digging out those stones and weeding out the thorns. Stay vigilant with frequent examination of conscience and the sacrament of reconciliation. And soon you will be like the land in our responsorial psalm. Paths overflowing with rich harvest, valleys blanketed with grain, shouting and singing for joy.